the fire made that up, but by the devil we return. Insanity or glory in a mind the devil lurks. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go. Kill it inside and let it burn. It's not the only will I hold. Kill it inside and let it burn. The empty eyes are falling down the path of no return.
Points out with Jeremy from Kentucky on your Friday night broadcast. Health and wellness. Hope that you are healthy and well. Coming at you live on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash the donate button. Send the fundage. Mail that in. Check or money order made out to RBN to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in. The donation to 1-800-313-9443, extension 3. Oh, that's the call-in number. You can call in the donation number to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And we're taking your calls live on your Friday night drive, 512-248-8252. Let me know what's on your mind. I want to know what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your mind. I want to cover, first of all, tonight, a boy that turned his father over to the feds after he realized that his father was in on the Capitol protest last year. This is from Yahoo News. A college student who turned his dad into the FBI after the Capitol riot fears he's getting more radicalized in jail. So the college student fears his dad is getting radicalized in the D.C. jail. Guy Reffitt is awaiting trial in jail after his son turned him into the FBI after the Capitol riot. The 19-year-old son, Jackson, told Vice News that he fears his dad is radicalizing more in jail. The Capitol riot and Guy Reffitt's arrests have torn the family apart, according to Vice. Vice News this, Guy Reffitt is a Texas man and a member of the far-right 3%ers group, who we know is infiltrated by feds, by the way. He was arrested at his home on January 19th after his son Jackson tipped off the FBI. According to court documents, the elder Reffitt was charged with 5 counts, including possession of a semi-automatic weapon on Capitol grounds. He has pleaded not guilty and is awaiting trial with dozens of other Capitol riot defendants in the Central Detention Facility in Washington, D.C. I think we're up to 500. I'm not even sure what the number is. People housed in that jail faced the most serious charges relating to the insurrection. An insider previously reported that they have, in recent months, bonded by organizing group activities, singing the national anthem every night, and writing newsletters. Whoa! What a bunch of terrorists. They're singing the national anthem and being patriotic. Okay. Some extremism experts have warned that those activities could leave some of the defendants more radicalized than before. Keep in mind, the activity of singing the national anthem, organizing, and writing newsletters could leave them radicalized. Okay. In a letter from jail published by ProPublica in May, Guy Reffitt said that he had bonded with the other defendants and was not remorseful about what happened on January 6, 2021. Jackson, the son, the 19-year-old, told Vice News of the letter, "It was pretty disgusting to read that. I mean, it's like psycho stuff. Honestly, it made me feel worse about my decision, only because I feel like I pushed him in a more extreme direction. I made him more enthusiastic about what he's done." Well, actually, what you did, kid, was you turned on your father like the cucky little faggot that you are. All right. In a separate interview with ABC News, Jackson said that he turned his father into the FBI in December of 2020 after becoming increasingly concerned by his father's seemingly radicalized rhetoric. Quoting Jackson, he said, "If something is to really happen, then I do not want this on my shoulders as the only one that actually sees what he's doing right now." Upon returning from Washington, D.C., Reffitt started to threaten his children and told Jackson that he would do what he had to do if he were reported to law enforcement. According to an affidavit, he would do what he had to do. Hopefully that meant beating that kid, some sense into that kid, and kicking him out into the street and letting him fend for himself. That's what I would have done. Since then, the 19-year-old has fallen out with his two sisters and mother and moved out of the family home, Vice News reported. Good. "I also bear the guilt of pretty much tearing this family apart, and it sucks, but I can't do much about it," he told ABC News. Not only did he just was a total traitor to his dad, he is a traitor to the American Republic. That was, it's dead now. The American Republic is dead. It was on life support for decades, but the election hoax and the January 6th protest, the response pretty much pulled the plug on the dying republic, and the funeral was on January 20th, 2021. That's the funeral for the Republic. In a phone interview from jail, Reffitt, the father, told ABC News that he hopes to have a relationship with his son someday. That's pretty cucky, too. Reffitt told ABC News, he said that, "I love my son. That's my son. I will always love my son." And the original article is on a Business Insider, but I mean, this is the actions of this boy. It's utterly traitorous. Somewhere along the way, the father failed in his duties to not raise his son to back him up and support him. You should always, here's your health and wellness tip, always support your family. Always back up your father. And I can't even fathom turning my dad into the FBI. I mean, my dad and I have such a close relationship. You know, if he would say, like, if he showed up and like, "Son, I had to kill someone. I just had to do it." You know, I would be like, "All right, you wait here. I'll go get the car. We'll get the body and bury it. And we'll take care of this. I'll get the shovels." I mean, that's how you're supposed to be towards your father, if you're a good son. And this kid was a total and utter traitor, like I said, not only to his family, but to the American Republic. That he went to the scum FBI. The FBI are the scum of so-called law enforcement. all the way back to COINTELPRO, they do not regard any of our rights, and they're a police force for this horrible, horrible system. I want to read Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all of the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. Yes, that's a very harsh punishment here in the good old Testament. But what the Lord recognized when the Lord gave the men this law, if you have a breakdown of the family, I mean, you're going to have a breakdown of the nation. And that was why the law, that's why it was so harsh and why rebellious children were just put to death. So I don't know. You got comments on this, give me a call. Maybe I'm way off, but I think this kid, you know, this kid would have been put to death back in the old system. But at least he was pushed out of the house and had to go back and live on his own. In further news, let's pick up some stories from the storm right here. Dutch Parliament refusing demanded investigation into all-cause morality. Tucker destroys Ted Cruz's life. There's a good one. Ted Cruz, there's another utterly disgusting traitor to the United States of America. I don't even care about Republican anymore or Democrat. I mean, Ted Cruz has come out and openly stated that the January 6th protests were terrorists and that they disrupted the legit election of Brandon. So I don't care how many things Ted Cruz said that were good or even like borderline based. Cruz is an utter traitor. I mean, they're all traitors, aren't they? Starting right up there with Mike Pence, the ultimate traitor. And, you know, truly, it wasn't like constitutionally, it wasn't up to Pence to turn the election. Really, what should have happened, as Patrick and I have talked about, is that the congressman should have voiced opposition to the votes in each state, and they should have drugged that out and given the state legislatures time to, you know, investigate and to decertify the votes. That should have been done all through January, but it wasn't. It wasn't done. Instead, you had this. You had the feds infiltrate this legit protest to the election hoax, and they had their agent provocateurs in there busting windows and causing all sorts of mayhem. And so that we have what we have today. And I know we covered it last night with Biden's couple of minutes we played from Biden's speech with William, how Biden's just going completely off the rails on this and given such an incendiary speech about how, you know, anybody that participated in this, anybody that said that the election was a hoax is a traitor to America and a terrorist. So that's sort of where we're at, and it's sort of, we all called this. We saw this was going to happen. We saw it was going to be another Charlottesville. Anyway, amidst the total cuckery in America, we've got one judge that has stood up against the COVID hoax. As you know, the FDA has stated that it's not going to release documents about the deadly coronavirus vax until the year 2096. So we had one judge stand up and basically say, no, you can't do that. This is according to RT, Russia Today. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has been ordered to hasten the publication of documents related to Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine by more than 100-fold, after the agency claimed disclosure would take decades. In a ruling on Thursday, District Judge Mark Pittman rejected previous arguments from the FDA after it said it might take decades, possibly until 2096, to complete Freedom of Information Act requests. Though the agency said it could only process and publish around 500 pages each month, Pittman said it would have to pick up the pace, instead ordering it to put out 55,000 pages in the same span. First of all, how many pages is this thing? How many pages is it going to take them to tell us what they're doing to our bodies? To those cucks and traitors that actually took the vaccine, by the way. How many pages is that? 55,000 a day? This is some document, man. You're gonna have to wheel this thing in on a tractor trailer, right? Back to the article. The court concludes that this FOIA request is paramount, of public importance. The judge wrote, adding that the timely completion of the release is not only practicable but necessary. Pittman accepted an earlier proposal from the FDA for an initial publication of some 12,000 pages by the end of this month, but said it must drastically speed up the process by March. He allowed the regulator to redact records only when it has privilege, exemption, or exclusion over information. Well, that's great. No, like, most of it'll be redacted. They'll just redact like the whole thing. It'll just be like one big like document of redact. All right. He told the plaintiffs and the FDA to submit a joint status report detailing the progress of the rolling disclosure by April 1, and again every 90 days afterward until it is complete. Of course, this judge's ruling will, I'm sure, be overthrown, even if it goes up to the completely, utterly cucked out Supreme Court that we thought would be good, that Donald Trump appointed, what, three members of, and this very same Supreme Court refused to hear any cases on election fraud. They didn't say, oh, there's not enough evidence or this, that, or the other. They just said, no, we're just not going to do it. We're just not going to hear it. So the corruption is thorough and all the way to the top, and of course we knew the Kritarchy was corrupt. I mean, they have been for a while. Even if you elect, or even if you nominate who you might think are decent conservative members to go to the Supreme Court, these judges will be blackmailed and corrupted. You can bet on it, and that's exactly what's happened. And even if they do. If the FDA does say, well, yeah, we're going to release it, maybe in 20 years, well, they'll just extend that. They'll just extend it. And this is the question. What are the, what is it? Are they hiding? And how many pages does it take for them to tell us how they are destroying the human race, not just Americans, but people all over the globe as these horrendous vax mandates are put down? I don't know. Anyway, let's wrap this up, and we'll be back on the other side of the break with more news and headlines on the employment side.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
You're Friday Night Health and Wellness in Plain Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky, and I have we have a physician calling in, a physician of politics, to help us analyze this on this Our Health and Wellness edition. Dr. Patrick Slattery, welcome to the show. How you doing tonight, my friend?
Thank you, Jeremy. I was out walking with my dog Crew, and I thought I saw the bat signal.
The bat signal, indeed. It's not very often that people get a triple dose of Patrick and Jeremy, you know, what with our two regular shows on Tuesday night and Wednesday. But now on Health and Wellness, I just thought everyone needed to be inoculated.
Yeah, and no prescription required, no prescriptions.
And we will release all of our data. We will, through FOIA, you can know exactly what our prep and what we put into these shows. We're not going to keep it until 2076. So what'd you think about that? So we got Judge Mark Pittman, trying to tell the FDA that they've got to release this stuff faster. You said that it probably had been overturned. I said that it probably would be, but you said you think that it has. I'm trying to find that right now.
Yeah, I thought that the last I heard was that the order sealing this information, or the request that the information be sealed until almost the end of the century, was not allowed. But I don't know that I might not have the latest news.
Let's see. All right, no, wait a minute. I was thinking you were saying that. So the judge that basically called this out. Now this is on January 7th, 2022, biospace.com. Let's see. A U.S. federal judge in Texas denied attempts by the FDA to conceal data on Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. The judicial rule overturned the regulatory agency's plan to withhold data up to 55 years. The ruling follows a lawsuit filed by a nonprofit organization called Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency that was formed to promote transparency of the COVID-19 vaccine data used to secure emergency use authorization. So this lawsuit is still on. So the judge this is being upheld, I guess is what you're saying. I thought you were saying the judge was overturned.
No. What you just read is my understanding of the situation.
Okay. And so I was making like a prediction that this could, that they could push this on up to the Supreme Court. And, you know, in other words, the FDA could be like, nah, we're good. We're just gonna hold this till 2096. Do you see that? Is that possible?
Well, I would think that the FDA could still appeal to the Supreme Court and try to get it withheld. I don't know how much luck they would have with that. You've got the Jewish wing of the Supreme Court, Breyer, Kagan, and I don't know if Sotomayor is Jewish. One thing that everybody agrees on is she's a lousy chicken, right? Even Stephen Sondheim called her a lousy chicken. So maybe she's part Sephardic Jew, who knows? But she's part of the Jewish wing of the Supreme Court. And just as they, the Supreme Court was hearing arguments over the so-called vaccine mandates, and those three are just lining up with the mandates. You know how they're going to side. The other six, we've got our based bro Clarence Thomas, and I guess our based whatever derogatory term you want to use for Italian. I like Italian, so I'm not going to use one. But
greasy. Greasy
Alito. Pizza Alito. But the other Alito is pizza. But the other four people are very, very they're all undependable, so who knows how it would go. My question is, will these COVID records, will they be unsealed before the Kennedy assassination records?
Oh yeah, the Kennedy assassination records would never be unsealed because Israel would be implicated.
And did you hear Jonathan Pollard is giving interviews now saying that young Jews should spy on the United States? It is totally awesome.
Bro, we should get him on the show. Yeah. Jonathan Pollard. Wouldn't that be an in plain sight to remember? Tonight, my guest, Jonathan Pollard. Traitor to America and overall chicken swinger. No, I was sort of making the case that I don't think our Supreme Court is very dependable. They didn't hear any of the election fraud cases. They just said, no, we're not going to do it.
They wouldn't hear them, right?
No. And so why would they not do the same on this? They've set a precedent. No, we're just not going to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the COVID vaccine, so-called vaccine mandate case is going to be interesting. I mean, I'm not going to say you can understand why they wouldn't hear the election cases, but that's a little more predictable. Their position on that was not too much of a surprise.
Well, let's delve into that on the other side of the break. Many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
But there's no proof. In the paper today, tales of war and lies, but you turned right over to the TV page.
Okay, we're back to the show, Dynamic Duo, on your Friday Night Health and Wellness. And I did pull this article up, Patrick, of New York Times, Supreme Court's conservative majority appears skeptical of Biden's virus plan. It says the conservative majority seemed to be leaning on Friday today toward blocking one of the White House's main pandemic fighting strategies, expressing skepticism that the Biden administration has the legal power to mandate that large employers require workers to be vaccinated or undergo frequent testing. I mean, I'll take it. It should be elementary, my dear SCOTUS, that no, Biden does not have any constitutional grounds to do this, but they're leaning towards maybe saying possibly that he doesn't have the right to do this. I guess we got to take little victories, right?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of Jonathan Turley on Sean Hannity's show when I was trying to find Tucker's show, because I would never listen to Sean Hannity otherwise. And Jonathan Turley was saying things like, well, if they want the vaccine mandate, it should go through Congress or go through the states. And I thought, what? Why does any branch of government have the right to stick their rods in our bodies? That sounds like really pornographic, but yeah.
Well, no, it's a classic move. It's like, oh, we're against the federal mandate. Yeah, that should be up to the states. I mean, that's so clear.
Or the private sector. Or the private sector.
Let's change the argument from, well, this isn't constitutional law no matter what, no matter who does it. Let's change that argument to, well, the state should do it. You know, I mean, it's just so classic.
Not classy
at all. Well, it's very rare that you come on a Friday night with me, and it's appreciated. And we have lots of callers because people trying to talk to people wanting an appointment with the doctor. The doctor is in. Let's run through some rapid calls. What do you say, my friend?
Sounds good.
Okay, let's go through this. Now I'm looking for the call list. Ah, here we go. Call list is attained. Vinny from Indiana. Vinny, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. Hello, Jeremy.
Hi.
Hey, Vinny.
Hey, Patrick, you've been commenting on Andrew Anglin's position on the whole COVID vaccination. And, you know, I think you're basically right in criticizing Anglin for taking the position that, you know, the virus doesn't exist. And I think Anglin's kind of honest in the sense that it's kind of a political position. But what I kind of respect Anglin is that for a lot of people on our side, he's kind of been, in predicting how it would be played out politically, the moves of Fauci and, the whole virus regime and the whole vax mandates and all that. I think he was very good at predicting how it was going to be played out. And I think one of the reasons he has been so spot on was that he was always kind of a guy, he would post a lot of information on the Daily Stormer by people who are condemned as being AIDS denialists. You know, Peter Duisberg, people who said that there's no relation between HIV, the retrovirus HIV, and the phenomenon of AIDS. And Ron Enns at the Enns Review, because of the JFK book, he's been publishing a lot of really, really good articles. And, Ron Enns said, I always thought the AIDS denialists, that's the term that the AIDS industry, the HIV AIDS, it causes AIDS industry, terms anybody who disagrees with HIV being, causing AIDS. That's what they call them Duisberg would call himself an AIDS dissident. But, they're trying to hook it in with the same kind of logic that, you're like a Holocaust denialist. But anyway, Enns has read some great articles, and he's backing the whole Duisberg argument, the whole Duisberg thesis, that retroviruses are not harmful. HIV is a retrovirus. I mean, Duisberg, his testimony is kind of like you said in the past, how do you know someone's telling the truth? If people are willing to say things that are against their own interest, testimony against interest, it kind of reveals, because Duisberg could have been a really, really wealthy man if he had been on the HIV causes AIDS bandwagon, because he was the world's expert on retroviruses. And he's pretty much, put his career, sidetracked his whole career, and he's been condemned and mocked. So, Enns is really interesting. I think Anglin, there's a reason why he's been spot on, and there's a lot to look into.
Yeah, well, okay. So one thing I'll say is, I've been a big Andrew Anglin supporter all along, and I think he's done overall very, very well with this. But I will say that Jeremy and I have done an excellent job in terms of what's going on with the corona apocalypse, predicting things, saying that, it's almost as if they're trying to keep the pandemic going on long enough to roll out a vaccine. And actually, I think our analysis, if anything, was better. But I'm not faulting Anglin. And it's just the flu, bro. I wouldn't even fault him for that, even though I think it's a little more, not much more, but a little more than just the flu, bro. But that's not the why I was talking about him last week. The reason I was talking about him was because it's the flu bro part, but it's the flu bro and everybody who's anybody knows it. That was what I was actually criticizing, because then if he's under the assumption that all the people in charge of Russia and China and Japan and all these different countries have the same opinion about the coronavirus as he does, but they just don't say it. He can't. Then when he's asked about what's Putin doing? Why are vaccines available in Russia and things like that? He can't answer it. And we need him because we don't have very many people. I mean, David Duke lived for 4 years in Russia, but we just don't have very many people who have much experience with Russia. He's one of them. He does have some experience with Russia. He knows something about it. And that's why I'm just trying to, I don't care if he continues to think it's just the flu, bro, but I don't want him to assume that everybody who's anybody shares that view, because they don't.
And I agree with you. I think England's wrong in saying it's just a flu blow. It is a novel virus, but people who are critical of Fauci, like the Indiana vaxxer thing, they were predicting that he was going to find some pretext of using the coronavirus to push a vax mandate, vax regime. And they were saying this. I mean, I've looked at articles and seen interviews going back to 2016, 2017, you had people who were in the anti-vax community. They met with Trump after the 2016 election, before he took office. And they met with him. Robert F. Kennedy and several people within that community met with Trump. And this is now coming out. So, there's a lot of criticism, legitimate grounds for criticism in England.
I don't want to be in the business of criticizing Anglin, because I really like him, and I think the Daily Stormer is the most trusted name in news, and I think Andrew Anglin's one of the most important public intellectuals in the world, and I'm not saying that as a joke.
Well, I really appreciate what you guys are doing and covering all this.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. And we'll go on to Dave from New York. Dave, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi, Jeremy and Patrick. It's interesting. I've heard you mention the fellow before. I never looked him up till the guy mentioned him, and I must have spelled it right. But, of course, they use all kinds of slurs, and they call him all kinds of names. That's all I find out.
Who are you talking about?
Andrew Anglin.
Oh, Andrew Anglin. Okay.
Yeah. But I didn't call about that at all. I called about I really appreciated your show on the 21st on the winter solstice, on the 28th with Mark Collett, and again the other day, because you're dealing with an issue that I have brought up for a long time. This Kaufman guy and his statement on virus isolation, it's like and I was just listening to him on the Sons of Liberty show. He did an interview with Tim Brown there, and much of what he says about the vaccine and everything, he's intelligent, and he's giving out really some good information on that. But regarding the existence or non-existence of the virus, he doesn't seem to follow. He's not a scientist. I'm a scientist. I've written papers, publications in graduate school. And basically, if we're seeing a sequence being found all throughout the world, there must be 10,000 people coming up with these similar sequences of variants and phylogenetic trees. This is very strong evidence that the sequence is out there. Now, it doesn't prove the structure of a virus, or it's even being contained in a virus, but that's generally thought the way this happens. And particles have been seen on electron micrographs, but how detailed they are, is in question. But I really do appreciate what you did. You really nailed it. I mean, you said, listen, Mark Collins says, listen, you tell somebody that their grandfather didn't die of this COVID virus. It was just the flu. And they say, well, he never died from the flu before. And they look at you and they say, you're crazy. And we can't be going around saying crazy things. I fully agree with both of you guys on this. And I've been trying to push this point, but some people don't get it. I think your perspective, have you had a biology course in college, Patrick?
Yeah, I have a bit of biology. I'm not going to pass myself off as a hard scientist, but I like it.
I
have a certain understanding of genetics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and I have a certain understanding of genetics, and I've got a big interest. For the past half dozen years or so, I've been very, very interested in all of this ancient DNA that's been sequenced.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're sequencing ancient DNA, the ancient DNA comes in little snippets, and naturally you're going to be using, because it's degraded DNA, you're using ultimately you're using computers in order to sequence it. So, you know, when you hear this stuff about, oh, it's only sequenced on computers. Well, of course, if you were to have like a Bible, for instance, that went through some sort of paper shredder, right? It would be pretty hard to piece it back together, but not impossible. And if you had a whole bunch of hymn books, for instance, and they were all the same hymn books, but they all went through the shredder, and then a windstorm came and a lot of it blew away. But you were able to like pass the little shreds through some sort of scanner, and you had the right computer program. You could put it back together because you'd be seeing, you know, lines repeated over and over from the different scraps. But some of the lines would start, at the top of the page and go to the middle. Some would go from the middle to the bottom, and you'd be able to sequence them together. And that's what they do with ancient DNA. And, you know, if you're talking about viruses, it may be something similar. I'm not 100%, that is really above my pay grade. But I know that that's how you do it with ancient DNA, and you're using a lot of the same equipment with the ancient DNA.
Well, my question is, where are all the microbiologists coming out and saying, yes, they didn't isolate this by gradient centrifugation, you know? Even McCullough, I think he said, listen, this is only like, this is very small. Or was it Fitzgerald with Steiner? When Dr. Fitzgerald was on with Steiner, I think he said, it's a very small virus, and this is not the same as spinning down, you know, bacteria that are larger. So, you know, it's a difficult task. Now, is it impossible? I don't have that background either. But where are the microbiologists coming out saying, oh, there's no virus and this is all fake? There's only one guy, and he has an undergraduate degree in microbiology from, I guess, Harvard. His name is Kaufman, but he's a psychologist. I mean, I just think that what you did was dealt with things on a professorial level with just basic college level biology plus other search that you've done that convinced you that this is most likely is a real virus. It's real.
Yeah, I think it's a real virus. I don't think it's such a serious virus that we should be redoing our society. And I think, I thought at the very, very beginning, there was an opportunity to help people at old folks' homes or genuinely vulnerable people, help them isolate if they so chose to. But that boat has sailed now. I mean, the virus is everywhere. So at this point, I think that policy-wise, we should just do nothing. The only policy that we should do is to try to repair the damage, the psychological damage that we've done to people, and look into the damage we've done with the vaccines.
And do a fair assessment. You know, how many people should have actually died from this, and how many actually, you know, because they had all sorts of treatments that they suppressed. I mean, so it's very unfair to say that, you know, 800,000 died from this necessarily.
800,000 died from the virus, perhaps with the virus, but probably not there, because a lot of, you know, a lot of these were people who, as they were dying, were given these PCR tests, which if you're cycling them 40 times, you know, you get like zillions of false positives. But you know, there are people dying from it. I mean, I think the Japanese numbers might have been exaggerated too, but not nearly as much. And the Japanese death rate, last time I checked, was like 1/20th the American death rate per 100,000 population or whatever. And I don't see any reason why we should be that significantly different.
Yeah, well, I think we need to get really good baseline information in a number of areas, and that's what I'm proposing. You know, there are some articles and there is some data that's really strong, and then there's the published information by the CDC that is very much in doubt. And but I think if we have good backup articles that we can point to, then we can at least give a convincing argument to those people who will never listen and never be convinced until they have a catastrophe in their life, you know. But, I've seen people who had this recently. I mean, the Alpha was perhaps very dangerous. The Delta might have been 10 times less dangerous. But I've seen two people that had it recently. And it turns out the one guy, 83, yeah, he was definitely, you know, hanging on to the wall, walking down the hall before he went in. And he sneezed, and I got a little bit of it, but I took everything and I had, and, you know, was only tired for 4 days. I don't know what variant he had, but his family says they did everything wrong in the hospital, and his kidney shut down. So I think, and they did an operation on him. So, you know,
they have handled, like, first of all, I don't think it was very that serious of a virus that deserved a whole lot of special measures. But to the extent that they've done anything, everything they have done has been the exact opposite of what should have been done is nothing. But everything they did was harmful.
Yeah, but I will say that there are some very unusual symptoms. They have burning in the lungs, you know, and they just walk like 30 feet and his lungs is burning, this one guy. He's coming out now. He's about 60 years old. He's got two punctured lungs. You know, he got infected by the other guy, actually. But, you know, they've got that, and they have glassy lungs in the autopsy. So this is, to me, this is something that is scarily different in some sense. But, of course, that's after being scared about it for, you know, all of last year, 2 years. So maybe I'm a little irrational there.
I think that, like, somebody can say, well, we've had respiratory diseases before and people have, had flus or other viruses or ailments before and their lungs have shut down. But I do think that you're getting more of it than we ever saw before. But still, it's not enough to justify all these crazy measures they've been doing. Plus the fact that, they've been withholding, effective treatments from people. I mean, they're doing is wrong and criminal.
Yeah, I mean, Trump could have been giving out vitamin D3 in January of 2020.
Yeah. No, make a big difference. Singapore was one of the first places infected. I mean, back in, I think it was March of 2020, there were studies that Dr. Duke and I were talking about, where Dr. Duke dragged up because he's a big vitamin D3 guy, but it was showing that that was like the number one factor in whether people were getting sick or not was their vitamin D3 intake.
Yeah, and it, you know, maybe we wouldn't have realized till February or March, but you know, and then all the other stuff came out. So yeah, very big problems there. I think the current Omicron is very weak, and we have people out there believing and scared of this, people who should know better. And I just predicted, I said, look, we've got fern cleavage site mutations. It's changing the shape of this. That's key to, for it to get into the ACE receptors. This thing is probably going to be a lot less lethal and is going to break through the vaccines because it doesn't fit the antibodies, most likely. And that's
which is,
what we've observed.
Which, and isn't that a good – wouldn't it be a good thing if Omicron just went throughout the population? I mean, there may be a very small number of people who would have trouble with it. But the idea of, like, shutting down colleges and high schools, you know, schools – No, all the kids, we should encourage all the kids to get it. Great, because that's how you could get the herd immunity, but they don't want that. They don't want herd immunity through natural immunity. They want to just keep pushing vaccines.
They want myocarditis, and then they're getting it. That's the problem. Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah. All these vaccinated people in schools, but I heard nobody from Cornell was in the hospital in a hospital that serves Cornell. Nobody was, and that was a week or two ago. But, you know, maybe there's a change. I'll check on that. All right. Well, thanks, Patrick. Thanks for your work, and that was very brilliant of you guys. I think Mark Kala brings a lot to the table, too. I appreciate that very much. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go to our last caller, and I'm sorry we didn't get to all the calls. Anthony from Tucson. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Yes, I was listening to all of your comments in regard to COVID, but most people who understand what's going on in the world blame the ones who formed the Federal Reserve Bank system because they take the federal income taxes from you and every person that you know at a rate of 30% or more or less. And they fund China with the money they take out of your paycheck along with Russia, Vietnam, Korea.
Oh, I wish. I wish.
What's that?
I wish that my tax money was going to China and Russia and North Korea, and instead of going to, you know, Jewish oligarchs and Black Lives Matter and whatnot.
Well, I was trying to make my point that when they did this, it was deliberately to get more control over the people, and anybody that loses their job because they don't want to take the vaccine, they should immediately file federal suit against them for denial of due process, and because they're taking something from you without a court hearing. This is what they did when they passed the 16th Amendment. They stripped you of your Fourth and Fifth Amendment because you're supposed to be secure or private in your house, person, papers, and effects. Now they got you spilling your guts out to them, telling them what your name is, who you work for.
Well, thanks for your call, Anthony. We are out of time. Apologies to the callers that didn't get on, but it was a great show. Thanks, Patrick, for joining me. And you stay classy.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.